WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Harrisonburg declares a drought warning. A new multi-use path is in the works in Charlottesville. And we meet the corrections officer who's also a stand-up comedian. And this is the WMRA Daily for Wednesday, August 14th. Harrisonburg City Council last night declared a drought warning for the city. The Daily News Record reports that Public Utilities Director Mike Collins said the emergency declaration would help close the gap between the city's water supply and demand. Collins said that the imminent return of students to James Madison University and Eastern Mennonite University, combined with high water demand caused by record high summer temperatures over the last few weeks, means that water demand may outpace what the city's water supply can manage. The U.S. Drought Monitor still lists much of the Shenandoah Valley under extreme drought conditions. A new multi-use path is in the works in Charlottesville. It's one of many car-free trails that could eventually connect to others around Virginia. Virginia Public Radio's Ian Stewart reports.
Dubbed the Three-Notch Trail, or TNT, the proposed 25-mile shared-use path will wind its way from Charlottesville to Ivy, through Crozet, and then to the Blue Ridge Tunnel in Afton. The TNT, which has been in work since 1992, is just one trail that could eventually connect to a massive network, says Allie Hill. She's a volunteer working on the Three-Notch Trail project.
I'd love for the Three-Notch Trail to be one segment of a 200-plus-mile trail that would go from the Shenandoah Valley over the Blue Ridge Mountains through Charlottesville and connect with a Fall Line Trail or the Capitol Trail and then get all the way to Virginia Beach.
Many routes around Virginia already exist, such as the CNO Canal towpath in Washington, D.C. and Maryland. For avid trail user Ken Notice, having more places to ride sounds great, but he has a few caveats before he starts pedaling.
Generally, you want good terrain, but where it's not too difficult and where it's pleasant and you can enjoy nature and see places you haven't seen before.
As for a completion date, here reminds those anxious to ride, it took 15 years for Virginia's Capitol Trail to be finished. I'm Ian Stewart.
To see a concept map of existing and proposed trails, go to threenotchedtrail.com. Recent years have seen a dramatic rise in the number of students considered at risk by the Virginia Department of Education. That's partly because state officials now have better data. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
For many years, schools identified how many students lived in poverty by taking a look at who received free or reduced price lunches. That left many high-poverty students out of the equation, and the system had to be scrapped when many divisions started making meals universally available. Levi Gorin at the Commonwealth Institute says the new way of identifying high-poverty students is based on participation in federal assistance programs.
It's a good thing that we're more accurately counting the number of low-income students in Virginia, and we need to do the work of making sure that those students have the resources they need to thrive.
Carol Bauer at the Virginia Education Association says student performance is kind of like Olympic performance. Athletes who have the funding do well.
They have the uniforms, they have the coaches, they have the transportation. When they're missing some of those things, they aren't as successful. And I think the same could probably be said for our students. When they have the resources that they need, then in fact they can be successful.
Now that state education officials have better data about which students are living in poverty, the Department of Education estimates that 43% of public school students are at risk. That means almost half of Virginia students live in poverty. I'm Michael Pope.
Full disclosure, the Virginia Education Association underwrites programming on WMRA. One of the athletes who won a gold medal in this summer's Olympics lives in Blacksburg. Virginia Public Radio's Roxy Todd spoke with him about the race that shocked running fans across the world.
Two runners, Jakob Bingebrigtsen and Josh Kerr, were expected to win the 1,500-meter race. But a lesser-known runner, who trains and lives here in Virginia, Cole Hawker, swept in front during the final seconds.
Cole Hawker wins gold! He upsets the favorites! It's gold for the USA!
The last 200, it was like the loudest I've ever heard a race.
His coach, Ben Thomas, says Hawker has always had an amazing ability to speed up in the final moments of a race.
Now he's gotten to a point where he can handle a hard early pace and still close really well.
Thomas has been Hawker's coach since 2019, going back to when he coached at the University of Oregon. He says he could tell then that Hawker had talent and was a good team player. And when Thomas took a new job at Virginia Tech last year, Hawker followed him to Blacksburg.
It's so beautiful and pleasantly surprised. I guess would be how I would describe it. You know, my girlfriend came with me and I think she's, you know, finding out how to live here as well. And yeah, we're really enjoying it.
In addition to a gold medal, Hawker also set a new Olympic record for the fastest time in the 1500 meter race. I'm Roxy Todd.
And finally today, streaming services such as Netflix and Prime have created new opportunities for stand-up comedians. And it seems like more people than ever are giving it a try. One of the more surprising comedians in Virginia recently showed his stuff at a state prison. Virginia Public Radio's Sandy Hausman has that story.
When Mike Seville was growing up, he loved watching comedians on TV and often thought he could do better. But he was well along with his career as a correctional officer in prisons before he found the courage to perform at a comedy club in Richmond.
Comedy is a hustle. If you want to do comedy as a living, you got to hit the clubs, you got to travel, you got to live on a shoestring.
Still, he found performing in his spare time was fun.
Maybe it's a little bit thrill-seeking just because it's either you're going to bomb or you're going to do all right.
And he did better than all right. Time and again winning comedy club competitions. A skinny guy with glasses, dressed in a coat and tie. People sometimes said he made them laugh even before he told a joke. And a fellow comedian once gave him a surprising piece of advice.
Your material is great. Drop the funny voice. And I'm like, I cannot. This is my for real voice.
So when the Virginia Department of Corrections hosted a TEDx at the Greensville Correctional Center, the prison's warden was asked to perform.
Anyone children in here? Yes? Yeah, me too. I have six. That's what I said. Why? You have to remember I didn't have cable. You know what happens when you have six kids? You get more kids. When my kids would be outside playing, people would just stop their car and drop their kids off. One day it was nice out, spring day. A little girl I never saw before in my life comes blasting through the screen door, stops in the kitchen, looks at me, said, "Where are the popsicles?" That food line. You won't be getting no popsicle here, kid.
He recalled the challenges of raising a teenage daughter who needed a dress for homecoming, and a few months later, a dress for prom.
I think you just got a homecoming dress. She said, "I can't wear that." I'm like, "Why not?" She said, "People saw me in it." So the very next year, she comes to me again. She says, "Dad, I need a homecoming dress." I was like, "Look, I got this all figured out. You wear last year's prom, just homecoming, homecoming to prom. You mix it up. No one knows." She's like, "Yes, they will." I was like, "They don't remember last year." "Yes, they do. They took my picture."
And then there's the story of his own childhood, trying to go high enough to flip the swing set in his backyard. He got close before falling off, then sitting up in time to get hit in the face by the swing.
My sisters were the babysitters. And they said, "Oh my God, his eyeball's missing." Like, "Oh my God." So now I'm really freaking out, and they're freaking out. Everyone's freaking out. They run to the sink and get the dish rag and slap it on my face. It still smells like soup and Clorox.
Seville says it's a great story to use when he's training new prison managers. His students can't look away.
Which eyeball got knocked out? Right?
It turned out he'd suffered a cut across his eyebrow and lid, causing so much bleeding that no one could tell his eye was there and unharmed. Seville says he finds humor in many situations, but he has yet to tell a story set behind bars.
Not that funny things don't happen, but I have six children, so that's decades worth of material.
Seville hopes that by sharing humor with prisoners and guards, he can build a better working relationship. He claims comedy can diffuse a lot of situations, because it's hard to feel stressed out and laugh at the same time. I'm Sandy Houseman.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy your Wednesday.